Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the best of Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart. Let's roll.
I didn't have the highest expectations coming into the NBA Finals, and I think people were generally bored by the expectation of seeing these two teams play for the fourth consecutive year. People in Oakland and in the Bay Area are definitely bored or broke because the game wasn't even sold out. Last night. Who would have imagined? And the cheap seats weren't sold out. There were like 400 seats available last night for game one of the NBA Finals. In comparison, when you look at the Stanley Cup Finals in Las Vegas,
you can't get a seat.
It was like $1,400 to get in a building minimum. And even in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, we'll double check again what the prices are now. But at last check, they were about $1,000 to get into the building as well.
Seems like to me, Golden State fans have been living good for a lot of years. Yeah. You forget about the grind of actually, like, you just die to be in that position.
It's sort of like the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Ticket brokers hate when the Patriots end up in the Super Bowl because Patriot fans, Cam, they're not going to go every year to the Super Bowl. It's sort of like a once-in-a-lifetime
You're
thing.
Right.
And they're like, now, I already saw the Patriots in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, and it cost me $7,000, and I'm not doing it again because they're in the Super Bowl every year. So it's like the Warriors. So before I criticize Oakland, you know how much the cheapest ticket is? And this is from the box office. So this isn't on StubHub. The cheapest ticket to get in, the ones that were available last night.
$280.
Yeah, well, it's $300 for like the last row. So, and it is Oakland.
That's good.
You think that's good?
$300 for an NBA final playoff game?
That's what it should be on the street if it's sold out. Shouldn't be $300 to get in the building. I mean, $300 is a lot of money to sit in the last row of an NBA basketball game.
If the Raptors were in the finals, how much do you think those tickets would be where we sat for the game?
Well, we weren't in the last row. The Raptors are pretty greedy like the Warriors are.
Extra. Yeah, that's a good point.
The Raptors, quite frankly, listen, the Warriors have the most expensive ticket prices in the NBA, yet they have the best team. And they spend a lot of money, although, ironically enough, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a higher payroll than the Golden State Warriors do. But they fleece the fans pretty good. And let's be real, man. Oakland is not a rich town.
No, it's not.
Right? So it's That's been true. 4 years of this where they've been in the finals. I think they pretty much – it's sort of like your bookie. He's gotten everything he can out of you.
That's a soft spot.
Sorry. Yeah, just telling. Like,
we got one final visit because of Liverpool.
No, and I remember exactly. I remember talking to a co-friend of ours, our boy Al.
Oh yeah, Al's a good guy.
And I said, "How's business, Al?" And he goes, "Well, nobody can win." He goes, "Man, every week everybody's losing." I said, "That's good for you, isn't it?"
And no, it's not.
He said, "No, not really," because he goes, "Everybody's out of money and everybody's just in a bad mood because they lost 6 weeks in a row already." And he said, "It's better when it's give and take." Right? It's better when it's give and take. And similar situation sort of in Oakland now. People are out of money. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like they just played the Rockets. So you're going to shell out $200, $300 to see the Rockets.
Unless you're really rich. Yeah. Like, normal people aren't going to go to the game.
Well, like, look at me. My plan was, I'll go to every game when the Raptors in the playoffs. Then I realized I can't spend $300 to get in every night, $250 to get in, plus booze it up and spend $500-$700. Every two, three nights in a playoff, so I just went to one game per series. You know, I think
that's nice. It's a treat too because you appreciate it.
Yeah, and later on in the series, I guarantee it'll be sold out in Oakland because people will know they're going to win. I want to go see that winning game, right?
Yes, that's a good call.
But this is why the Warriors are moving to San Francisco. A lot of money in San Francisco. It'll be sold out, and they can charge $500 a ticket.
I'll tell you though, for the Warriors in that game for game one, they didn't play. They underestimated Cleveland big time. They thought it was going to be some kind of joke. It's not a joke. Like they got the benefit of some calls too. Referees changing calls on potential blocks. charges, all sorts of stuff going on in that game. It's weird, actually, to see LeBron get question his calls, because we see him get every damn call before, but it was almost reversal.
Yeah, you know why? Because normally, think of it like a Marvel movie.
Yep.
Where LeBron James is like Captain America or something, but suddenly he's in the Avengers movie where it's not just all him. That's what it comes down to here. And I told people, I said it'll be refreshing to see. He's not the only superstar on the court suddenly.
Yep.
So, yeah, against Victor Oladipo and against Kyle Lowry, you're going to get the call. And against a 21-year-old Jaylen Brown and a 20-year-old Jason Tatum, you're going to get the calls, LeBron. And another thing is, the NBA's already fleeced everybody, dude. They already got what they needed. LeBron's in the damn finals. He shouldn't even be there. All right? He goaltended against Victor Oladipo, people. Ooh, it's J.R. Smith's fault. CNN, right after the Kim Jong-un meetings today, with Kim Jong-un's flunkies, they got, what the hell was J.R. Smith thinking? I don't know. What was J.R. Smith thinking? What was George Hill thinking when he missed the damn free throw? 81% free throw shooter. What was Tyronn Lue thinking? Who's the head coach? Why didn't he call a timeout? Why didn't LeBron James call a timeout? And listen, J.R. Smith didn't cost them the basketball game. They didn't lose because of J.R. Smith. It went to overtime. And the Cleveland Cavaliers got outscored by 10 points in overtime. And LeBron James, who gets credit for whatever the hell he does, and he played an awesome game. I mean, scoring 50 points is just over the top with what he did. But LeBron James, in freaking out in the fashion that he did and his reaction to J.R. Smith and the basic constant faces at his teammates and the sky is falling, LeBron last night, it trickled down to the rest of the team in overtime. LeBron's got to just say to JR, all good, let's go, we're in overtime.
Exactly.
And, and tell the bench, hey, this is good, we're in overtime right now. We take this, right, coming in here. We're 12.5-point underdogs and we're in overtime. Instead, LeBron went into, bitch mode, started freaking out at JR Smith, and then as soon as overtime started, he started yelling at all of his teammates after baskets, and I get it. LeBron James gets frustrated, and everyone's going to put the cape on him because he's a hero, because he scored 51, and they're going to say, well, what about the help? LeBron James had help. He runs them out of town, all right? He had Kyrie Irving. He didn't want Kyrie Irving there. LeBron James wants to be the guy, all right? He's not the type of guy, LeBron James, that's going to say, oh, I scored 20 points, but we won a championship. He wants to win a championship, but he wants to score 50 points in the process doing it, and he can't do that unless he has yes men around him.
Not only
so, he's got J.R. Smith there, and at times J.R. Smith is going to step up. But the whole, LeBron's great, and it's his teammates suck thing around him. LeBron wants these teammates around him. And J.R. Smith has hit big shots for these guys over the years.
Kevin Love played good.
Well, Kevin Love is very good.
You're damn right. He
hits
big shots.
But Kevin Love gets sort of reduced to just being an idiot next to LeBron James all the time. And this is why people and NBA players, as superstars, no one's in a hurry to hook up with LeBron for these dream team things. They did in Miami, and it imploded after 4 years, and they wanted to get the hell away from each other. Nobody's rushing there because LeBron wants the ball in his hands 95% of the freaking time.
And not only did he sell him out on the court, you see afterwards, I don't know what's going through his head. Exactly what you said. When a buddy on your team makes a mistake, you go, don't worry, I got you. We're in a good spot. Instead,
well, he overreacted.
Damn right he did. His face is like he's crying. And then he had an opportunity to say, hey, man, he should have said, we're all a team. We're going to bounce back. Instead, he goes, I don't know what's through his head. That's the thing. Selfishness all the time.
The thing is, the game was tied. So it's like J.R. Smith didn't cost them the game. And I tweeted this earlier today. Bill Buckner makes that play. Yeah, they're going to win. But there was a game 7 after the fight.
Yep.
Same thing with Steve Bartman.
Bartman did nothing.
It was Gonzalez that was booting every ball at shortstop. And then after, there was another game after the fact as well. That wasn't the clinching game. Chris Webber gets blamed all the time. Ooh, it's Chris Webber's fault. Michigan lost. Ha ha, timeout, timeout. Michigan were losing. When Chris Webber called the timeout, Michigan were losing. People don't seem to equate that in the fact that, yes, Michigan might have tied the game. If they didn't turn the ball over, they might have. And then North Carolina might have scored right after with the time left. So Chris Webber didn't cost Michigan a national championship. It was a stupid thing he did. It was an unfortunate time of the game that it happened in. But Michigan never would have been there in the first place if it wasn't for Chris Weber, right? Like, it goes both ways, people. So, you know, the whole let's blame J.R. Smith stuff, George Hill is the one that missed the freaking free throw. He felt the pressure. He's an 81% free throw shooter. And, you know, he didn't step up in a moment. He doesn't hit the shot. And after the game goes to overtime, they could have just kept their composure. They did.
Oh, they got rattled in overtime. That was a collapse.
And Golden State are basically, I compare them to George St. Pierre. When George St. Pierre, a couple of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, he was the dominant champion in the world. He was like the number one, you know, he was the kingpin of mixed martial arts. And, you know, he didn't, like, kill people, but he won convincingly all the time.
Yeah, he used to take away your will, smother you.
And then, you know, the fight started to get a little closer. And then he had a bloodbath with Johnny Hendricks. 25 minutes, bloodbath, going back and forth. Some people say Hendricks won, but George St. Pierre got the decision. I think George St. Pierre did enough. But that was sort of a little warning sign. All right, he's starting to slip a little bit. And then his next fight, he gets kicked in the head by Carlos Condit. He beats Carlos Condit, who was a really tough guy at the time. But George St. Pierre, you know, got knocked down, man. George St. Pierre doesn't normally get kicked in the head and knocked down. And then he basically retired after that because he had concussions issues after he got kicked in the head. Now, he came back, but he got out because he knew he was going to lose, right? He's like, all right, these guys are all on steroids. They're coming close to beating me. I'm getting messed up a little bit now. I'm going to tap out when I'm on top, and I'm going to retire when I'm a champion. Golden State don't have that option to retire as champions. They're not going to be able to sustain this. I think they have one more year after this next year, and then they'll implode. Kevin Durant will be a free agent for real, and he'll bolt because they win. He's not going to bolt now. But I think Kevin Durant will leave after. Klay Thompson could potentially go. And they can't keep it up at this intensity level that they're playing at for 5 and 6 years and just rattle off these championships. And quite frankly, just as LeBron James shouldn't be here right now because of the NBA wanting Cleveland in the finals.
If Chris Paul plays, Houston's there.
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors have been freaking lucky.
They have been.
Along the way. I mean, you know, Chris Paul gets hurt. You know, Houston falls apart in Game 7. They were down by 15 at one point last night. You know, listen, I think the referees did a okay job, all things considering. People just bitch when LeBron doesn't get the call. But you can argue Cleveland got screwed a couple of times, and it came really close to winning the game.
They should have won the game. In my opinion, they should have won the game.
But what happens? J.R. Smith goes back to the three-point line, and he shoots the ball.
Yep.
So there's no guarantee it was going in. It might have went in. LeBron James
you brought up
the
point. Free throw. Hit a damn free throw.
Yeah, George Hill could have won the game. Now, I got saved because I had the over, and it went over because of the overtime. My team total, the 113.5, went over. And it's funny because after everybody was saying, oh, Morenci, you rock, you're a genius, all these great winners tonight. And that's the difference between winning and losing. I'm no genius. Like, I got lucky.
The game went to overtime.
Yeah, if George Hill hits that free throw, you know, I don't hit the team totals. We would hit the over because it would have went to 215.
Cleveland in the first quarter plus four.
Yeah, I didn't get in on that.
That was actually, I really liked that bet.
Which I should have. I told people about it yesterday. But, you know, on the back off J.R. Smith, all right? J.R. Smith, there was one play. It's a team sport, guys. It's a team sport. And as I stated, you know, maybe the shot would have went in. If J.R. Smith would have got the rebound and then turned around and passed it to someone on the Golden State Warriors accidentally, and then they would have went down the court and dunked it.
He would have been less criticized.
No, but then you could say, you know what? He cost them the game. Like, you know, he's an idiot. He literally cost them the basketball game. When a game is tied and there's a mistake, that guy doesn't cost them the game.
Exactly.
It's like I said with Chris Weber. Chris Weber didn't cost Michigan the game. They were losing. You know, Bill Buckner, there was a game 7. Bartman, there was another game after. You know, these sequences. Scott Norwood gets blamed all the time for costs at the Buffalo Bills.
Get more, get closer.
The Buffalo Bills knew, and everybody freaking knew, that Scott Norwood was perfect. He was like 17 for 17 or something inside 45 yards. Outside 45 yards, he was like 50%, and it was on grass. And he used to be a turf kicker, AstroTurf. Thurman Thomas in the damn huddle told Jim Kelly, we need a couple of more yards. And he told Jim Kelly, just throw me the ball. Like he said, let's just do a quick screen. I'll pick up a couple of yards. I'll get out of bounds. And then let's kick the field goal. And Kelly said, no, no. Kelly said, no, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. And then they went right to the field goal, and it was a 47-yarder. It wasn't Scott Norwood's fault that the Bills didn't pick up a couple of more yards. It wasn't Scott Norwood's fault that for some reason Jeff Hostetler hung on to the damn football when Bruce Smith.
Because he had crazy glue, it almost seemed like.
When he hit him in the end zone.
It was crazy.
It wasn't Scott Norwood's fault that Otis Anderson, O.J. Anderson, rushed for like 132 yards. And that the New York Giants held the football for 42 minutes in that football game. You know, those are little things. It's easier to ha-ha, Norwood's a loser, but those are just facts, people. It's never one person in a team sport. You want to blame one person, blame a tennis player, blame a fighter. You can't blame someone in a team sport. Donnie, we'll talk about this Colangelo stuff, as it looks like it could be his wife that's tweeting.
Yeah, well, she got involved with the stuff earlier. Apparently, she...
They always throw the wife under the bus, it's like blame... Like, remember Ben Carson a couple of weeks ago?
The wife.
A couple months ago?
Yes.
Ben Carson spent, like, you know, $88,000 on, like, a coffee table and a couple of chairs.
Beautiful furnished office.
And he's like, well, you know, hey, you know, I sent my wife to the store, and, you know... She's got expensive taste, huh? And everyone laughs, ha, ha, ha. So she probably knew nothing about it.
He said get the best.
Like, I'll maintain to this day, speaking of betting, I'll bet anything. I guarantee you Janet Jones was not betting $50,000 on coin tosses of NFL football games.
No, that's not true.
I'm willing to bet, like, anything on that.
I'm with you.
I'll stop smoking weed for, like, for a year if she was doing that.
I was thinking about 37 minutes.
No, for a year. That's it. Yeah, she was calling Rick talking, placing bets.
Yeah, I got a hot tip.
Hey, Rick, what's the line on Monday Night Football? Yeah, come on. But in this instance, no, listen, I'm not stating that it's the wife and he knew nothing about it.
He just probably said, do it through these things. I don't want to be associated with
it. He's a busy dude. He's on the road with the team. He's probably just calling the wife. Yeah, just tweet that Embiid's an idiot. You know what I mean?
It's pretty simple what to do. Yeah, you said it. Like, all you got to do, like, kind of like, I'm busy, leave a grocery list. Like, you don't go on Gmail or do anything. You just write with pen and paper, rip Embiid, rip this guy, say this.
Because the accounts follow a couple of socialite, other chicks in Toronto here.
Also, they linked it to, apparently, the last numbers were, like, her numbers. Like, hey, there's no getting
it's
away
her
from
cell
this
phone.
Thing. Yeah, her cell phone. So they've really tracked it down. So. Anyway, I don't care. It's kind of, even if it was your wife, he's a problem because she didn't do that stuff on her own.
He's not getting fired. I said it yesterday. Yeah, yeah. He won't get fired. He didn't say anything racial. He didn't say anything like over the top.
You know what I call it, though? Insubordination, at least. Even though if you disagree and you have a problem with players on your team.
2018.
Yeah, it is.
That's what I call it. And I think it's random. Look, Roger Goodell's wife got nailed last year. Nobody was talking about it. There were some anonymous Twitter account.
My husband is doing a great job.
Well, she didn't say husband, but yeah.
Roger Goodell's a great commissioner.
Yeah, and there was a negative story or something.
Yeah, they post a positive.
Somebody, you know, this Twitter account would pop up and state, really, you don't know what you're talking about. The, you know, Goodell's done this, and this. And it was so repeated that people dug around a little bit and realized it was his wife.
Exactly.
So that's the commissioner of the NFL's wife has a burner account. Turns out Hassan Whiteside just got nailed today.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a burner account. Basically, I think it's just, like I said, it's a 2018 thing.
I could tell you one thing,
like,
though.
Kevin Durant got nailed for it, but.
Renzi, look at me. I could barely log on.
No, you've got no burner account.
No, I don't have an account, but I'm going to tell you.
Cam barely, like, can function his own Twitter account.
Exactly. Good point. But I will say this.
You know my boy Joey Odessa.
Don't these guys know they're going to get, like, in today's world, you can catch anybody with any, like, you actually think you can outsmart some kid genius from, like, NIT who can go through your computer?
Well, they don't think, they're thinking that they're just tweeting harmless stuff, but the Colangelos got greedy. They're like criminals. You got one burner account, that's fine. Eric 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, you got 6, 7 burner accounts.
Yeah, that means that's greed.
Yeah, somebody's going to figure it out. Now, you know our boy Joey Odessa, MMA odds maker.
Yeah.
Joey's a very vindictive what's the word I'm looking for? And I say
vengeful?
This.
Vengeful?
Yeah, with all due respect because I like him.
Like a word.
I'll say he's insane. So,
guy who told me he's got a hair trigger temper. Like, he'll go bananas. Oh, yeah, that guy ripped him on Twitter and he's like, I'm going to kill you type of thing, right?
So,
I've never met him. Somebody, you guys are boys, right?
Somebody ripped him on Twitter once. He actually hired a private investigator to stalk the guy where the guy was down, got the private investigator to take a picture of the guy's father's grave and said, talk again.
Wow.
So
that's going to work.
Yeah. So
that's a, no, that's it. That,
he
that,
told me.
That is like.
He told me, he goes, Gabe, he goes, I spent $3,000 on this guy, but I got to the bottom of everything on the internet.
Wow.
Like, he's that crazy where, like, he woke up, he was like, all right, I'm going to find out who these people are.
You know what he sounds like?
So he spent the money, but the best is he told me, he goes, Marenzi, you're clean. He goes, I got you checked out. He goes, nothing personal. Yeah. But he goes, you don't have any other burner accounts or anything. And I said, dude.
Of course I don't.
I said, I barely, like, can log into my own. Like, I don't even remember my own passwords. You think I'm, like, setting up multiple accounts?
I got to tell you something, though. To go to a grave, take a picture of a tombstone, put it in a thing and said, you're, like, talking about me again. You're next. He sounds like he'd be a great homicide cop. He never quits. He's like a pit bull, this guy. That is going beyond the call, right? Like, if somebody did you wrong, Gabe, you'll just go on the radio and say, this guy's a fat-ass turkey, he's a tool, and whatever. Well, you threatened people before, but that was personal. He also called us out. He called me fat. He called a mouthpiece, and he and he ripped our buddy even harder than us.
I will admit that I once took a radio host's phone number. I got hold of his personal phone number.
I like it.
And we put an ad up on Craigslist for an Xbox for $10.
It's actually really good.
It's pretty creative.
Yeah, very.
It's like just sort of
like,
slick.
All the things you can do.
No, but it's just slick and random.
A $10 Xbox.
So the phone.
A lot of nibbles.
Oh, yeah. The phone starts still in box.
That's like a salmon derby.
Still in box.
That is a way. You know what? That is a great way to get revenge without physically putting a hole through something.
I also sent him an email telling him, I know where you eat.
Yeah.
And I know the cook where you eat.
Ooh.
Wow. Just to get into his head?
Yeah.
You know why I did that? Just so he couldn't eat at his favorite restaurant.
I like that. Great move, because if somebody did that to me, that would really hurt.
Yeah.
I have my special spots that I go to.
And then, of course, I did go to the studio and threaten to kill him.
That's true.
And, yeah.
And he did get a restraining order again.
Well, I didn't threaten to kill him. No. I'm not trying to recharge any feud here. Just funny.
No.
It's just funny. But this guy was ripping us, me and Ken.
And we had no, like, it was like relentless.
All right. So this guy was ripping us and stuff. So I was going back at him. And it was actually helping my TV ratings. So it was good for business.
Really, it was good for business.
It was good for business. So I really didn't care. But, you know, I said a bunch of things. And the guy was – somebody called me in the morning. And they said, oh, you got to listen to this guy on the radio. So I tuned into this guy's radio show. And he's like, that Marenzi guy's a big – he's a big, you know, big jackass. And I dare him to say the things that he said yesterday on TV to my face. Except the guy didn't know that I lived like two blocks from his radio studio. And they did it in like this street level glass studio.
Yeah, it's the Hard Rock studio.
So you can sort of just like the public could show up.
Oh, I know they do.
So this guy's ripping me. I swear to God, guys, it was like an hour segment. just about me. All right, like, and you know, big time too, like 8 to 9 a.m. type thing, like that.
Drive hours strong.
And he's going to town, and his little cronies are laughing it up, and they're like, "I'd like to see him come down here, and you know, I'd like to see him say those things to your face." And I knew at the time it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, but I couldn't help myself, so I went down to the studio, and I walked right in, and I said, "Hey, I'm here to say those things to your face."
God, I wish I could have been there that day.
I walked in, and I should note, I brought a gift for him. I brought a picture of his face on a pig's body on a T-shirt.
Yes, I remember.
And
great shirt.
Yeah, so they freaked out, got security and stuff. And I said, no, I just came to bring a T-shirt. And I told him, put me on the air live now. Let's do this live on the air.
Yeah.
And
that didn't happen.
No, instead they called the police.
That's true.
And they called.
So you're like Joey Odessa Jr.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't go to
like me and Joey get along.
You didn't go to the grave or take the picture, but you did a lot of work.
Yeah. So then I was warned. You know, I was threatened with a lawsuit and stuff. So I was warned. Listen, You know, you're going to get sued if you ever mention this guy's name. So
our bosses went wild. So I
didn't say the guy's name, but then I wore the T-shirt with his face on a pig body on the show. And I made sure that it was very visible,
it was visible.
On the program.
It was visible.
So I'm just going to say, another time, too, my ex-girlfriend, may she rest in peace, this really, really jerk-off, like, old man condo owner guy used to terrorize her.
He's a creeper?
No, he was just like a real...
Just a dick.
He was the biggest jerk ever, man, and he was really yelling at her and stuff and got in her face. And I nearly got into a fight with the guy, but I didn't want to punch him out because he was like 67 years old or something, and it would have looked bad if I would have killed killed an old man.
It's kind of like the way I feel about Cal, our trainer. If he was about 20 years younger, we'd go and have a talk with him.
Yeah, you would.
But now that he's an old man, I can't even threaten him. Like, you know, the guy's ticker.
So exactly. So this guy went into like a fight pose with me and stuff, right? And I told him, like, whatever, old man. I said, I'll drop you, you piece of crap, whatever. So he got all pissed off, and he wanted to go.
Oh, he wanted to dance.
But I told him. I said, well, I can't, you know, what are you going to do? And he was like, I'll kick your ass. And he was a pretty tough guy for an old guy. But whatever. I would have just hit him over the head with a chair or something.
Old man strength.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to get the guy right after that. So I knew that him and his wife, like, loved their garden.
A horticulturalist.
Oh, they loved it. Oh, they lived for it.
I'll tell you the story. Yes, go. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, so I went to the store and I bought a bunch of weed killer and pesticides and acids.
Beautiful.
I got drunk and I went and poured stuff all over his lawn.
Bye-bye, green lawn.
Oh, I killed it.
Oh, my.
And then the best part was, like, the next day. And, like, the next day, it took a couple of days for it to start to whatever. And about a week later, man, I saw him and his wife out there looking devastated on their lawn. Oh, what happened?
Wow.
You messed with the wrong dude. That's
you
what
sure
happened.
You sure did. I'll tell you something about people who love flowers.
Hey, I'm just kidding. I never did any of these things for real. This is for entertainment purposes.
Yes, it's all for entertainment purposes. It's all we do on the show. But I will tell you this. People who love lawns and flowers that much, they're psychopaths. They're absolute psychos, man. Like, you touch
this
one flower,
they're
back.
This guy was probably burying bodies under there, like that Santa Claus serial killer.
I was a kid, and I house it for a lady. She's got, like, 275 plants taking 8 cups of water, right? Like, what am I going to do? Like, you're not even paying me. Like, it was a dangerous shit job. And I'm like, you know what? What kind of freak has that many plants in their house, man? She was a psycho.
The best is, too, when I went to the store, I told the guy.
They love plants.
I said, I got to cleanse out a garden completely. I said, you know, I got to wipe everything out.
Give me the best.
They're all like, wow, this will do it. And I was like, I poured paint thinner, too.
Oh.
Just as a extra.
Yeah, just.
I actually felt bad for, like, messing with the earth after. Like, I'm kind of a, Vegas are just doing everything right. They're the best NHL franchise.
Yeah,
they're in the cup, but just from an entertainment standpoint, their practices are open to the public on a daily basis, not just once in a while, but all the time. The players meet the fans after every practice. They have hot cheerleaders at the practice. They're cranking like Motley Crue and stuff. It's like a party atmosphere.
Wayne Newton's there. They got Gladys Knight and the Pips doing God Bless America. I know, it's perfect.
They got Lil Jon cranking it on outside before.
You said it.
Ton of people. It looked like it was like 50,000 people outside that arena.
Yeah, the night too. Great theater before the start of the game, slaying all the
intro.
Other teams. Oh, it's the best. It's the best. They
raised the bar for the National Hockey League.
You know what the Leafs do at the intermission? They have a dancing bear out there who's a stooge who doesn't even know what he's doing. And Carlton. Yeah, he's just doing nothing.
Listen, Cam, it's funny because you're a Leaf fan and I'm not, but I'm getting sick and tired of your Carlton the bear bashing.
He's horrible. As a corporate mascot,
you're not
brutal.
A fan of Carlton.
I even met him at my other radio station. He's like, he half-assed it in his bed. Like, these kids were, like, right there. He's like, as a mascot of the Leafs, like, you could just tell he's beaten down, and, like, he's not really giving it his all. I'm sorry, Gabe. I have things to say about Carlton, and they're not good.
Carlton.
I've been in a box, and I met him. Like, he's mailing it in as a bear. Like, he's not getting it done.
You need Yuppie in Montreal.
Yuppie and Clam Chowder don't mail it in. That's the difference. Those guys know how to be a mascot.
Yuppie's a groper.
Sorry. That's one thing Carlton's not.
No, like there's always.
Yuppie's a groper.
No, there's always like the Yuppie dude like grabs chicks and stuff. It's hilarious. Yeah. Now I think Yuppie's like a wrestler. He's like a local wrestler in Montreal. But the old Yuppie at the Expo games.
He's a groper. Trooper.
Yeah, there were actually a few complaints. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
He had fast hands?
He was a little touchy-feely with the ladies.
And he's in a mascot suit, so he thinks he can get away with it.
It's like, better than the kids, at least. It's like,
oh, I agree, 100%.
It's like, yeah, listen, our mascot's getting a little, getting a little Sandusky-ish here.
No, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, and it's Montreal, so it's a little looser. Yeah. Chicks are a little looser.
True.
But
he's got fast hands.
Like, you'd be used to, like, see a hot chick and go sit on her lap and stuff.
That's, you can't do that today.
But it was obvious with him. Like, he'd sort of, like, kids would be like, yuppie, yuppie. Yeah. He'd high-five a kid and then go, like, dance in front of a chick, right? Like, it was like yuppie was, like, a mascot for women.
You got to say he's pretty smart.
Yeah.
But with today's stuff, though, you got to be very careful.
Yeah. Well,
even as a mascot, you're still a human under there. That's the problem. People think, hey, you dress up, you can do whatever you want. Not true.
Well, that's right. We have our own show mascot, Clam Chowder. And some stadiums let him in and some don't. And the Toronto Blue Jays were very adamant about this. They're like, we can't have, like, some dude just walking around in a mascot uniform. And Clam Chowder's like, some kid looks at Chowder, and Chowder, like, pulls the kid towards him and to take a picture. And the mother's like, stay away from my kid. Security of the Blue Jays, like, you got to go.
You're absolutely correct. Like, the liability for having, like, a strange mascot in there, like, it's
oh, yeah.
It's not good.
Because the Clam Chowder was like, he was like, I'm going to boycott the Blue Jays. This is unacceptable that they kick me out. So I had to explain to him that.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, listen, Clam Chowder, there's kids here. Yeah. And
you can't just take pictures.
You can't just have a strange man dressed up in a purple, like, Barney dinosaur outfit. You know, taking pictures with kids on, like, the Blue Jays property. Then he got mad at me.
Sorry.
He was like, so you're taking their side?
No.
I was like, no, I'm not taking their side.
I'm just explaining,
Chowder, that from a legal standpoint, Rogers Communications can't have you taking pictures with kids.
Exactly. You are not a licensed mascot under their brand.
Like, it's not just you put a mascot suit on and you're allowed to go to any sporting event.
That's why I'm afraid to take Lisa to a game. She got into an altercation while wasted with...
Yeah, what's the deal? Your girlfriend hates mascots.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. But for real.
So she mouse off for... Like, yeah. What was the mascot she told him? Get the F away from me?
BJ Birdie, the original Blue Jays mascot. They almost, like, threw down. Like, she told me, like, the bird got in her face and she, like, there was contact made. Like, she told me she wants to come back to the game to see the new mascots, Ace and Diamond. She's going to give them a piece of their minds. I go, honey, please, we can't just go to events and you to get kicked out and, like, lip off the mascots because you think it's cool.
That's
she
awesome.
Hates mascots. No, she hates people that dress up in costumes.
That's the best camp.
Except for Clam Chowder. She likes Clam Chowder because he knows us.
She got into it with the Blue Jays mascot.
Oh, yeah, and Carlton the Bear, too, in a box. We were at a Minnesota Wild Leafs game. She go, Carlton, you got to do better. He's like, he's trying to do a pitcher with Doug Gilmore. It was a disaster. Absolute train wreck.
And, you know, there's a big rivalry among mascots, too, because Clam Chowder hates the Raptor, T-Rex, too.
You can't hate him. He's very good at what he does.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
He doesn't like the Raptor. And we were in the game, and Clam Chowder was dressed as Elvis. And guys, if you go on YouTube, Clam Chowder, Elvis is in the building. You'll see him shooting free throws. You've seen it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's freaking gold.
It is gold.
It's one of the funniest things in the history of ever. Like, it's so funny. So after the Raptors mascot came up to us and sort of high-fived everyone around us, and Clam Chowder snubbed him. Clam Chowder didn't give him the high five. So I said to Chowder, "What's up? What's you got a problem with the Raptor?" He's like, I don't like him. He's like, he doesn't like the Raptors because they won't let him in as the mascot.
So he hates the Leafs and Raptors.
Yeah, but he's a big Argo fan because the Argos put him at the 50-yard line.
Perfect. The Argos don't care. Liability? Come on, Clam Chowder. Come on in. Take as many pictures with kids as you'd like.
You're right. The Argos, are stringent with the law.
We need publicity.
No, you know what they did? Because Chowder goes to that Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You got all these, like, people dressed up as Chewbacca.
Yeah,
and all
Warlords, yeah, Sailor Moon.
So, the Argos were playing. So the Argos actually went over. They sent over their PR guy, whatever, and he plucked, like, a bunch of people. And he said, hey, who wants free Argo tickets?
Yeah.
And you want to come on the field dressed up in costume? You know, it was in conjunction with Comic-Con.
That's so good.
So Chowder, of course, is all over
he's
that.
He's all over it.
And the Argos let Chowder stay on the sideline.
Of course
after.
They did.
So, in uniform and costume. So, yeah.
But I got to tell you something. While I was downstairs on my walk from the train, lots of controversy with the concierge. He got into it with a guy with army fatigues. Chicks were freaking out. I have a feeling we're going to have some live testing the alarms during the show. Something is happening in the building, and some guy went wild on him because he got a ticket for visitor parking when he had his lady over. So
what, they tagged a veteran, a military dude? The fact he was in a military uniform didn't save him from getting a ticket out
there?
No,
he had a hair-trigger temper, too. He was going to knock that guy out in the front desk. He was scared.
Was it the nice guy in the front desk or
nice
the jerk guy?
He talked him down, yeah. Yeah, that one jerk guy, the Polish guy, he's the worst guy.
That other guy would get punched, yeah.
Yeah, he would have got punched. And that lady that you have, too, we know the rotation. She doesn't work very much or hard. She's on break a lot.
She's a nice lady.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I've been locked out a lot.
She listens to spa music down there. She tries to make everything more tranquil.
She's going zen.
Yeah, I asked her. She's not at her post quite often.
No.
So I was sort of, I was talking to her. And she basically told me she needs to get away, that she works at a couple of buildings.
And it's driving her insane.
And this one causes a lot of problems. She says there are always problems. Everyone's always complaining about something.
Starting to notice the vibe in the area. It's getting a little angrier now with the heat out there. Like, people on their patios are drinking, but it's been surlier. Even the pets seem a little bit more pissed off. it's one of those things. It's like a vibe. Like, maybe because we've been around here, like you said it. When you live in these type of places or work in these type of, you need a change. Like, think about our buddies in New York. Like, that's, after a while, it rings your bell.
I've got to get away from this neighborhood, yeah. Especially now in the summer. There's a ton of hot chicks around here.
Yeah, but they're not talking to you.
No, and it's just even more just,
it's a frustration play.
Yeah, it's like I'm in a, it's like me going to a Justin Timberlake fan and trying to pick up chicks or something. It's not going to work. So, is back from the grave.
Tongue lacerations.
I don't really even feel comfortable asking another man how his tongue is doing, but I'll ask you how's the tongue? How's the tongue doing, Ken?
Dr. Tongue? Yeah, it's pretty good, Gabe. I got to tell you, though, waiting 4 hours in emergency, it's just like I saw the guys in your Twitter. It's an absolute disaster in hospitals. Imagine, like, you actually cut...
Your mouth, the left side...
It's not the same.
Your left cheek sort of looks a little puffier and
stuff. Yeah, because it's my tongue's still got a nugget on the side, but at least it stopped bleeding, buddy. I guess doing the show on Thursday when it happened, it just...
How long...
Talking made it just get bigger.
How long did it take to stop bleeding?
2 days. About close to 48 hours. That's a long time, don't you think?
Did you notice the piece of your tongue after in your...
feces?
I was looking for a better...
Stool?
Yeah, stool.
Did you see anything pink in your stool?
I was going to say, yeah, in your waist.
In your waist. No, I couldn't find it. It's gone.
Was it like a piece of flesh, like in the toilet or nothing like that?
It was embedded in something, but he gone. It's gone now.
So for the record, me and Corey came up with a new nickname for you.
What?
Cannibal Cam.
Cannibal Cam.
You'll eat anything.
I will, even my own tongue.
Yeah.
Gabe, I'll tell you, though, man, it was pretty wild. Like, the emergency room's like a weird place, man. Like, nobody, there's a lot of people in there. And the worst is I'm in my curtain. There's a big family there, like 8 people. There's also like radioactive boxes and syringes and stuff. Like, there shouldn't be that many people. Like, these facilities
of contamination.
It sure is, buddy. And I'll tell you something. There's way too many people there. And these doctors are stooges. Like, he told me nothing. He gave me Tylenol 3 and says, don't worry. The tongue it clears itself. It'll be okay in a couple days. I'm like, thanks for the tip.
You go to a hospital, you leave there worse.
Yes. I was out $20 for parking.
My grandmother fell and broke her hip. She ended up dying of difficile C, some sort of weird blood germ that spreads through hospitals and stuff, right? Like,
you said it, man. It's true. I could have just stayed at home and dealt with it.
Yeah,
going to the hospital didn't help.
You go into a hospital, you don't want to touch anything.
I know. Great point. Lots of Purell.
And I tell you what, you're better off being like a Japanese tourist. putting the mask over your
face. Another great
it
point.
Really is.
Oh, no. I saw some people walk in with those masks, and I was jealous. I'm like, I need one of these. It's a cesspool. Like, just germs and people hacking everywhere. It sucks. I never want to go back to a hospital. Never.
No.
It's not a fun place to hang out, man. It really sucks.
I don't want to die in a hospital either.
I agree with you. I'll do – and like, if I'm going to die, just let me go for the last couple of days somewhere. Let me die in peace.
That's why you need money.
It's a great point.
It's a lesson. No, it really
– It sure is.
You know, it really is. Like, you might think – wow, you know, whatever. It is what it is when I get old. You know, I'll get Social Security and, you know – Yeah, because God knows we don't have any pension or anything like that in this business.
That's true.
But the fact of the matter is, if you have money, then you can stay home and hire a hot chick to just come over and you know, take care of you.
Yeah, give you a sponge bath.
Yeah, and you just die at home one night.
With a sponge bath in the tub. Sounds lovely.
You have no money. You're in a convalescent home with a bunch of other people pissing themselves.
Great point.
And then you die in a hallway with no dignity in a hospital. But the healthcare is free, though. Nice hair, though.
Nice hair though.
He's just not ready.
I'll tell you something, Morenci, though. Like, I actually thought outside the box, and I remember the Simpsons episode where Homer ate the chili with the chief, and he put the hot tongue wax on there, so no, the insanity pepper couldn't get
so
him.
So you tried
Well, wax? I didn't try hot wax.
So you did some, like, some bondage stuff with your girlfriend? Like, you know, it's hot wax? On the tongue? I don't know if that's a good idea.
I did two things. I did. I thought about things that, like, what's going to stop blood? So I thought about, like, it has to be thick. So paste. I didn't want to do crazy glue because obviously that's a carcinogen. I'll die. So I did Vaseline. Didn't work. It was horrible. Then my mouth was just filled with Vaseline. Then I tried butter. It didn't work either. Well, it's thick.
Did you try the salt and hot water thing?
Well, that's just to clean. That's just to sterilize it. It doesn't make it stop. Salt. Once the salt's in there.
That must have been pretty painful, too.
Yeah, it's, big nugget. I told you, big holes. But, you can see the side. It's just it's still there, but I feel a lot better.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks, pal. Corey, that must have been fun doing the show with Corey. Do the golf show with him back in the day. Gotta love Parson. Great guy.
Oh, yeah, that was good times.
Cannibal Cam. That was the doctor, too. He goes, yeah, I saw a guy before almost, like, bit off his whole tongue. He goes, wasn't even sure if I was going to stitch that up. I go, then what'd you do for the guy? Like, the guy, so his tongue bleeds for a week? Like, no, I'm telling you, these doctors, Gabe, you stay, whatever you are, if you can handle it from home, do it. That's my tip to everybody out there. Don't deal with these guys. I'll pay for health care. I honestly, I've told my girlfriend after, I would have dropped $200-$300 to just not deal with that situation. It sucked.
So at least the blood has stopped.
Yeah, it has.
Listen to Game Time Decisions every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.